Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripe and don't get a hard. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them is a culinary bummer. Forget about.
No culinary bummers here this morning.
That's awesome.
Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am here with special guest co-host Pat Milliman. Thank you and welcome back.
Thank you. It's so good to be back. I'm excited, and I want to just do a quick shout out to Hugh. Good morning, Hugh. I ran into Hugh a week or so ago, and he said, hey, are you ever going to do a guest appearance on Food Talk again? So, Hugh, here you are.
Here you are.
And I am here. It's good to be here.
We need to let everybody know that Linda Perkins will be back. She's visiting family right now, and we are so lucky that Pat said yes.
And I hate to disappoint, but I know Linda has been singing for y'all, but unfortunately there will be no singing this morning.
And I promise not to either.
We'd be turning the dials down if that were happening.
Well, Pat, you know, Linda and I have been talking about our arsenals of go-to recipes, sort of a little bibliography, so that when we're tired or when we're out of time or when we are completely uninspired, we have a battery of things we know work and that we're prepared to make and that we love.
Yeah, I love this topic because that's how I survive. I cook a lot. I'm busy, as many of you are. And there are these things that are just my go-to when I'm feeling meh, or it's late, I need to get something on the table quickly. And one of my, well, let me back up before I do the one of my favorite things to cook is, most important for me is pantry. Gotta have stuff in the pantry. So it's that old notion of you have to plan. So that when you are in that state of what am I going to do tonight, you've got something to pull out of the pantry. And for me, it's I always have jars of rice and beans and all kinds of things like that that I can grab, and even canned beans, canned tomatoes, my really wonderful favorite canned tomatoes, those things that I can always count on. And as Marianne and I were chatting just a little bit before the show, she coined this phrase, power of the pantry. And I think that's so huge. If you've got stuff in your pantry, you can throw something together. And one of my favorites is risotto.
Oh, man.
I started thinking about it because we had the good fortune of having some congee the other night, which was just...
was so good.
Beautiful.
And it was a reminder that as the cool weather rolls in, don't we all just want a steaming bowl of something wonderful?
Yeah, something wonderful. And so many cultures, their cuisines, there is something like a congee or a risotto or just some really comforting. And for me, risotto is just one of those really easy to throw together. I love the almost meditative quality of stirring. It slows me down from a busy day and allows me to kind of shift gears into a quieter. And then it's one of those things that's just so flexible. Once you've got the base of your risotto, you can throw so many other things in
That's right.
Or top it, and you have a meal.
You have a fabulous meal.
Yeah.
I love the stirring of the risotto, too, and it's like polenta.
Yes.
It doesn't take huge amounts of time, but it also, when you're stirring something that's on the stove, you get the aromatherapy kind of thing, in addition to this gentle sort of loving movement that is making dinner happen. You know, I don't know. I like the whole thing. It's just like whisking gravy. I really like that part.
So perhaps you need to shift your mind into a little bit of liking to do that. Polenta is another one of those things that's, for me, is a really easy.
So delicious.
So delicious. Just a little bit of butter on top, or maybe stirring in some gorgonzola cheese, or if you've got some sausage and peppers and want to really step it up,
That.
But,
you could take anything you would add to risotto, you could also add to polenta to make a meal in one dish.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about risotto.
Yeah, so these are rough because I don't tend to cook with recipes, and I promise I will translate it into a recipe so we can get it up on the website for you guys. But risotto, I start with, I want to say maybe a tablespoon, and I like to do part olive oil and part butter in the pan, and then a couple tablespoons of finely chopped onion. You could do shallots if you want. I tend not to do garlic there. I prefer a little bit softer onion or shallot. Let the onions cook a little bit till they're translucent and start to soften up, and then pour in about a third of a cup of white wine. Excuse me, let me back up. You've got your butter, you've got your onion. Put in half a cup of rice. Sorry about that. Put your rice in.
Either, let's talk a minute about the rice.
Yeah. Either arborio or carnaroli. And I prefer carnaroli, but either one works good. They're short grain Italian style rices that are just perfect for risotto. Either one works. I find when I use arborio, it takes just a little bit longer to cook, and I have to use a little bit more liquid with it. But again, either one works, and arborio tends to be a little bit easier to find in any of your grocery stores. Co-op certainly carries a beautiful brand. So put your rice in and stir that around so all those rice grains are coated with the butter or the olive oil or whatever fat medium you're using. So you want all the rice coated and mixed in with those onions. So that'll take you maybe a minute or two of just tossing things around. We're not browning anything here. It's just getting things really coated. Then you pour in your approximately third of a cup of white wine. And cook that until the wine starts to reduce and it's the rice and onion is soaking up all that delicious wine and it's evaporating away. And then you have a separate pot on the stove that's got, I like to use chicken stock. It's one of those things that I always have in my freezer. I make chicken stock in big quantities and put it in freezer bags so I can just pull it out. It's one of those things about pantry preparation,
right? It's fabulous. And if you're not interested in making chicken stock, just have some stock in a box or stock in a can. It's salt-free if you can get it.
Yes.
On the shelf in the pantry.
Yep. That's another convenience, gotta have it kind of thing. Whether you make it or you buy it in a box, gotta have it. So you've got your stock simmering in a pan on the back just so it's warm, and you start ladling about half a cup at a time, so your stock into your rice mixture, and you just stir, and you just stir, and your rice will start cooking very slowly and start absorbing this stock, and you stir that until, you know, it start looking like that's pretty much evaporated away, not completely, and then you stir in another half a cup, and you just keep going through that process. When I use carnaroli, it takes about 2.5 to 3 cups of stock, and this is a nice portion size is what I'm describing here for two people. So you stir your stock in, and then after about 15-ish minutes with carnaroli and about 20 minutes with arborio, you have risotto that's ready to go. And from here, I stir in, I so don't measure, maybe 1/4 to 1/3 of a cup of grated Parm, really good grated Parm, not the stuff in the green box. That's not good pantry prep. Stir in your Parm, maybe a little bit of butter if you want it. And then this is the place where that's like dinner right there. You can just stop there. But if you maybe have sauteed off some mushrooms or you've got some beautiful scallops that you happen to have picked up that day, or
asparagus.
Asparagus is gorgeous.
It's fabulous.
Asparagus is classic, classic, classic. Just whatever. And so it can be very seasonal. Asparagus in the spring, butternut squash in the fall.
It could be leftover roast chicken. There's just you know, at that point, you really are cleaning out the refrigerator.
Exactly. And you have a beautiful, comforting,
creamy.
There's something about creamy, right?
Yeah.
Creamy, polenta, risotto, whatever it is.
Creamy and steamy.
Ready to go. And it's dinner on the table in less than 30 minutes. And it's so incredibly delicious.
Yes.
And so easy.
This is the $25 a plate dinner when you go out.
Yes.
And it just is something that if you have the right rice and some stock at home, then you're ready to go. I think that that is the thing about the pantry. I love the idea of going to the store to get the green grocery stuff, the produce, or the bread the day that you want to cook it. I mean, ideally, if we could all do that, that would be great. But you need to do that one big shopping periodically to keep the pantry stocked so that if you don't feel like going to the store that day, you can still cook up something fabulous.
Yeah, so super delicious.
So good. Risotto. So excited about risotto. Well, you have something else up your sleeve.
I do. I am super excited. Do you want to talk about something or do you want me to keep going here?
Well, I will talk a minute about scalloped potatoes because like risotto, creamy and steamy, scalloped potatoes are in all of their permutations are one of my go-to dishes because they're so fabulous. And because, you know, they could easily be gluten-free, which is sometimes when you're cooking, if you don't have a gluten issue, maybe somebody you're cooking for does, and it's easy to do scalloped potatoes in that way. They can be vegetarian or they can have animal protein in them. And really the only thing you need to know about scalloped potatoes is bechamel. And like the next recipe that Pat is going to talk about, if you have two or three really good sauces at your command, the sky is the limit. A good pantry and knowing how to make a sauce, you're done.
Well, so bechamel is one of those ones, right?
Yes.
Scalloped potatoes. Take it in a different direction and make your bechamel and throw some cheese in and cook up some macaroni and you've got mac and cheese.
That's right. That is so right. And bechamel is, you know, it just starts with the roux, which could be, I mean, it's usually a couple tablespoons. This is sort of the, I would never make this small an amount. However, I will tell you.
You can.
You can. A couple tablespoons of butter melted. And then a couple tablespoons of flour or the thickener of your choice if you would rather use a rice flour or something like that. But I usually just use a nice organic all-purpose flour. And you make a roux with that so it gets thick and pasty and you're just going to let it stir it around and let it cook for a few minutes so that it no longer tastes like flour. And then a cup of milk and or half and half. And if you use heavy cream, your sauce will never break. That's one of the other wonderful things. You know where it gets kind of curdly and looks kind of funny because you didn't pay attention long enough. That happens sometimes with milk. Although with this, you're just going to whisk in the milk and then just kind of give it a whisk for a few minutes until it thickens to the degree that you like it. My really good friend and one of my favorite chefs, Uriah Halsey, calls this milk gravy. And, you know, bechamel is a French term for this, but and white sauce is what my grandmother always called it. It's called a million things. It ain't fancy, but it's so good. Then you add a little salt and pepper to taste. And a little tiny grate of nutmeg I like to add if I'm going to put it on. I like a little nutmeg and bechamel, period.
Yeah.
No matter what I'm going to do
mac
with
and
it.
Cheese, scalloped potatoes.
Because you can do this sauce and do like potatoes and peas in white sauce. You know what I mean? Oh, anyway.
That makes me think of... What did my mom make? Sometimes it was chipped beef on toast.
Yeah.
That was a white sauce
SOS.
Thing. Yes, exactly. Or sometimes tuna and peas.
Yes, exactly. All of that stuff requires bechamel. And actually, bechamel is what we use for like a white lasagna. That would be the instead of the red sauce. So, and you know, you could use it on anything. But to do the potatoes at that point, then you're just going to butter a casserole dish and peel and thinly slice some potatoes, however many you need to measure the depth of, and size of your container. And I like some sweet onions or any kind of onion shallots in there layered. So I'm just putting a little sauce in the bottom. You're building a lasagna, basically, with potatoes, onions, and whatever else you want. The classic American thing is ham in the bottom. And when I do that, I like to cube it up so that it's not so hard to serve and eat. I also love it with smoked, like, lox-style salmon. Ooh. And then it becomes kind of almost like lox loda. But you could put anything in the bottom. Yep. Up to you. It would be really good with like a little steamed broccoli florets or whatever. And then you're just layering potatoes, onions, anything else you want, white sauce, more and more and more. And you top it with some sauce. You can put cheese on it if you want. It is not a cheesy dish normally, but I sometimes like to top it with some garlic breadcrumbs or just plain toasted breadcrumbs to get a little crusty.
A little crunch.
Yeah, yeah. Like that crusty delicious. Thing on top. But that's just a, you know, it's the bechamel. It's all about the bechamel.
So my first experience or my experience leading up to bechamel, I was out of college, married, and learning how to cook. I didn't learn a lot about cooking, although some, when I was a teenager. So I was going to make scalloped potatoes and ham. I looked up in one of the old, you know, classic cookbooks, and it talked about slicing the potatoes and sprinkling in flour and pouring in milk and putting it in the oven and baking it for, you know, I don't know, like 45 minutes covered and 45 minutes uncovered. And I took it out, and it wasn't anything like the scalloped potatoes that my mom used to make. So I called my mother promptly and said, okay, Mom, I made scalloped potatoes, and here's what the recipe said, and it didn't turn out. And, of course, my mother is like, well, she says you have to make white sauce. So from henceforth, white sauce is in my repertoire.
I have made it that way where you sprinkle the flour or the cornstarch or whatever in between every layer and dot it with butter and pour the milk. And my apologies to Irma Rombauer, but no.
No.
No, sorry, Joy of Cooking. That's not the best way. And actually, if you have the bechamel sauce, you can just pour it over the top. And you don't even have to just layer whatever you want in there and pour the bechamel all over the top. And it will like...
It will find its way to come together.
Yeah. So that's mine.
Beautiful. Looks like we might need to take a...
We might need to remind people that they're listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, streaming at coastradio.org, and on your mobile device, wherever you go, using the TuneIn app. You're listening to Food Talk. It is a production of North Coast Food Web and Coast Community Radio. I'm Marianne Myers, and I'm here with co-host Pat Milliman. So if you're just tuning in, welcome. We're talking about things we need to have at the ready when we're tired and uninspired about dinner.
Yes. And Power of the Pantry. This is one I'm so excited about. I found this again. I had it years ago, lost it, have found it again. So I was telling Marianne about it, and she goes, oh, yeah. So stir-fry sauce, or as Marianne knows it, brown sauce, all the same thing. This is one of those wonderful things that you make ahead in a jar, put it in the refrigerator. It will keep for weeks and weeks and weeks in the refrigerator. And then you just use the small amount that you need as you want to throw together a stir-fry. And stir-fry for me is, again, another one of those... Super easy. I'm going to the farmer's market. I'm going to the grocery store to whatever and picking up veg to do this. Or I'm cleaning out the vegetable drawer and maybe I'm going to throw in a little protein and I'm going to throw together a stir fry. And literally it's a throw together. But what makes a good stir fry from a just so mix of stuff stirred together is the sauce again. We're at the sauce thing.
I know, and this stuff keeps forever.
And it's
good in other things besides just stir fry. Toss a little of it in some baked beans.
Anyway,
go ahead.
Toss it with some noodles.
Yes,
or just, you know,
yes.
This is your this is your sauce. So I'm calling it stir fry sauce. The blogger that I found this recipe calls it Charlie. So whatever name you want to give your sauce. So you mix together a half a cup of soy sauce, and the blogger's recipe was a fourth cup of light soy sauce and a fourth cup of dark soy sauce. I happen to have just one kind in my fridge, and I'm not a big fan of buying extra things just for a recipe. So I did a half a cup of, it's a dark soy sauce I have. So my Charlie or stir fry sauce is going to be a little bit darker. So half a cup of soy sauce, a half a cup of oyster sauce, which is really easily found in the Asian food sections of any of the grocery stores in town here. A fourth cup of Chinese wine. And you can find those in the Asian section.
Is that like mirin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Or you can use sherry if you happen to have a bottle of sherry, which is another really good thing to have in your repertoire. You can use sherry instead of the Chinese wine. A fourth of a cup of cornstarch, a tablespoon of sugar, 2 tablespoons of sesame oil, and 1 to 2 teaspoons of white pepper. If you don't have white pepper, please don't feel like you have to run out and buy white pepper for the recipe. Just put some black pepper in there. The white pepper has a little bit more of a bite to it. So whatever pepper you want to use, and you dump these things in the jar, shake it all up, put it in the fridge. And then when you're ready to do stir fry, you know, maybe you've got a couple cups of veg and a little bit of protein. So this is one of those building block things. You start with your what I call aromatics. So your onion, your garlic, your ginger, whatever sort of base flavors you want. Chop those up, saute them for a few minutes, and then just start putting things in the order in which they need to cook. So if you're doing protein, put your protein in because it needs to cook longer. Put your veg in, your leafy things, bok choy leaves or spinach or anything like that are going to go in very last. And then you put in, depending on how much you're making, a couple of 3 tablespoons of your sauce and a couple 3 tablespoons of water and stir it all together. Just make sure when you do this that you have stirred really well your stir-fry sauce that's in the jar, because the cornstarch will settle at the bottom and it can get kind of thick and almost gelatinous and just stay there. So make sure you've really stirred down into the bottom and have your sauce stirred up really well, because you need that cornstarch to do the thickening. And so then everything just tosses together and you've got this beautiful, glossy, glorious, delicious
so good.
Sauce.
It is so good. And you know, once it's in the pan, you can add like a teaspoon of tahini or some little thing like that to just make it seem like it's a brand new thing.
Yep. Or, you know, as you're serving it, maybe you want to throw some chopped onions on, you want to squirt some sriracha or whatever your favorite
hot sauce
is.
Choice. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's so many.
Yeah. Such a simple.
So good.
Quick.
Yeah. And a really fabulous thing to have in the fridge if you're just coming home from the farmer's market and you want to use what you just bought at the peak. You know, it got picked that morning and you're going to eat it that night with a stir fry with a little brown sauce on it. I love having that. I love having that in the fridge.
It is one of those things that contributes right to power of the pantry. So really start thinking about, how do I like to cook? What kinds of food do I like to eat? What are the things that you always find yourself picking up? Make sure you have those things in your pantry. Can of good tomatoes, the makings of bechamel, your brown sauce or stir fry sauce already made up in the fridge. And this makes, the recipe that I was just sharing makes, I want to say about a pint. So that's enough for several
recipes.
That's
a lot, yeah.
And it takes like 2 minutes to throw it together. And you've got this in the fridge that's going to get you through several weeks of uninspired.
Yeah, right. And it not only alleviates you having to come up with something at the end of a long day when you're just not in the mood, but it also is the main ingredient for a meal that you can literally toss together in no time. Stir fry is so fast. And I got to say, Wendy D'Agostino, who is the kitchen coordinator at the North Coast Food Web, is a big proponent of making like 2 or 3 times as much rice as you need anytime you're making rice, and then putting that leftover rice on a sheet pan and letting it freeze and then bagging it up in whatever serving sizes you want. And you can really, you could drop, if the bag's the right kind, you can drop it into boiling water to reconstitute it, or you can do fried rice. But rice is usually the thing that takes the longest when you're doing stir fry. So if you have your sauce already and you have your rice done, you're golden.
That's something else that's important in addition to having a stocked pantry, is making, like, cooking once and eating twice is how I like to think about it. So I make pizza dough. We have pizza at home regularly. I prefer to make it at home. So I make pizza dough. So there's one that we're eating that particular day, and there's another ball of dough that goes in the freezer. So the next time we make pizza, we're just taking it out. I do the same thing when I make pita bread. I cook whatever pita bread we're going to eat that night for the meal, and balls of dough go in the freezer.
That's so great.
So you've got stuff that you can just grab, which makes it
really
easy.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Really good stuff.
And you can avoid the, you know, takeout window or the rotisserie chicken.
Well, that's the other thing, is not only is it fabulously delicious and really good for you, but it's always cheaper to cook at home.
Always.
I'm not buying that excuse that it's cheaper to eat at the drive-thru. It is not. Nope. Anyway,
So not.
No, it's so not.
I think about my daughter and her husband who live in Denver, and they have three kids. And, you know, so when you're trying to feed a family of five, I don't care how inexpensive the items are on a takeout menu, by the time you've fed five people in a sufficient quantity, that's
a
lot of money that you're putting out. Yeah. And then there's nothing else. So if you cook a batch of rice at home and you're having part of it with your stir fry dinner, and then you've got things that are going to feed you a couple more times, it always comes out less and always is so much healthier. And for me, now, granted, I'm one of those ones that just loves to cook, but for me, it's so satisfying to be able to feed myself, to feed people that I love. There's something really, really heartwarming about being able to do that. And like I said, with the stirring thing, I love stirring. It's almost like a meditative slowing down.
It is a meditation. I think cooking at the end of the day particularly can be a meditation, and I know that it's very easy, and it's not like I haven't done this, to tip over into the, geez, I got to fix something to eat. I am, you know, I'm beat. I'm tired. Yeah. And also it might be 8:30, you know.
Yeah.
Not that I love eating dinner really late. I totally love that. But I'm not always crazy about fixing dinner really late. So I have just learned to appreciate the meditative quality. If it's been a really busy day, I more than ever need to have that moment where I slow down and something wonderful happens because of my effort, and someone I love benefits from it. There is, you know, that's a whole nother thing besides how does it taste, how does it smell, what's in it.
Yeah.
It's all... it's that other intangible quality.
And these are never the days that I try a new recipe.
No, that's right.
Like, I save that for when I'm not working and I've got the whole day to think about it. Because, you know, crazy recipe writers, you got to read the recipe through several times and make sure you've got everything. So having this repertoire of things that you just know how to do intuitively, and it just starts coming together, and before you know it, dinner's on the table.
It's dinner. I cannot believe we are like a minute and a half before 10 o'clock. What the heck? So I just want to, Pat Milliman, thank you so much for coming. And please know that anytime you're in town and feel like coming in, getting up early on your day off, because we know you're by city, but if you're in Astoria, please just come on over here.
Thanks.
Love to hear your voice. And also, we want to know what you're cooking. So,
and I love talking about food. So,
so you're in good company here.
Yes.
Ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you a ripened donut.